welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we finished out our Now Playing series where we talk about the intersection of faith and film. And at the Delaware campus, we were talking about The Mandalorian, the Star Wars story. There have been two seasons of it now. It's if you haven't seen it, it's probably too much for me to summarize all here. But the basic, very basics are that there's a guy. He wears a suit of armor, never takes his helmet off. He's a bounty hunter who is hired to go find this child. If you've heard of the person Baby Yoda, right? He literally looks like a little baby Yoda. He's hired to go find that person and bring him back and then give him to this person called the Client, which is a really bad person who wants him for bad purposes. And so he's supposed to go capture the child, bring him back, and he's going to get money for him. But what happens is that on the way back, he captures the child. The child, Baby Yoda, ends up saving the Mandalorian, right? The main character. He ends up saving his life. And even though at the time they're really enemies in the sense that the Mandalorian has been hired to go get him and give him to bad people. And he's going to make money off of that. Like, it's really terrible when you think about it. And yet the child saves his life, uses his magical force powers to save the Mandalorian's life. And that singular act of love and compassion, when it was least deserved, and the relationship that starts between those two, what happens is those two develop really a father-son kind of relationship throughout the whole series. It really changes the trajectory of the Mandalorian's life. He in a lot of ways sort of regains his humanity. He stops being sort of a faceless, cold killing machine, and he really comes to love and have compassion for this child, for Baby Yoda, and kind of becomes his surrogate father. And he risks his life for Baby Yoda multiple times. And it really, he is transformed by that relationship, and it goes back to that singular act of love and compassion. And so as I thought about that as sort of the overarching theme, I was just obviously drawn to the parallels. What struck me were the parallels between that and the gospel, the good news about what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us in this singular act of love and compassion of sending his son, Jesus. And so I took us to Romans 5 on Sunday, and I want to read that to you. Romans 5 says this in Romans 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And he goes on in verse 9 and says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Jesus? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." And so what I drew our attention to on Sunday, what I want to draw your attention to now is, you know, we love to talk about the love of God for us as we should. I mean, God is love. The story of the scriptures is God in love saving his people, bringing them into his kingdom. We will spend eternity worshiping him and expressing our love for him. But I think sometimes we shy away from just the difficult reality of our situation apart from Jesus. And so I kind of ask the question, you know, when God saved us, were we like good people that God just made a little better? Or were we more like the Mandalorian, God's enemies and least deserving of his love? And what we see is that the Bible says, man, apart from Christ, apart from faith in Jesus, I mean, it describes us in that passage alone as powerless, ungodly, sinners, under the wrath of God, and God's enemies. But God. A couple of weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a chance to interview Morgan, my wife, on stage, and she said those two words are some of her favorite words in the scriptures, right? But God doesn't leave us that way. Instead, he demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly and under his wrath and his enemies, he loved us anyway. And he didn't leave us in that state. He sent Jesus to die for us and raised him from the grave, that by trusting Jesus, we might also be raised to new life, that we might be born again and made new and transformed because of what Jesus did for us and because of the relationship that starts when we trust Jesus with our lives. And the words that are used to describe us after faith in Christ, post-Jesus, right, are justified, peace, having access to God, having hope in God, being reconciled to God, being saved from his wrath. And of course, you could go through the New Testament and look at all these other words: chosen, loved, redeemed, God's children, forgiven in his kingdom, having an inheritance in Christ. I mean, it's just stunning. It is not the story of the Christian faith, of what God does in us, is not he takes good people and kind of makes them better, but he takes lost people, his enemies, and he makes them his children, his beloved. He saves us and loves us and sent Christ for us when we least deserved it. And it truly is a transformation from death to life. And so I hope that this morning, what you hear and what you'll sit with for a second, I'm going to leave you with this question. And this is the question I kind of left our folks with on Sunday. And that is, if you call yourself a Christian, if you don't, then I think you probably already know the answer to this question. But if you call yourself a Christian, I want to lean into this question. And that is, have you been informed about Jesus, or have you been transformed by Jesus? Would you look at yourself and say, man, I am merely informed about Jesus. I know stuff about him. Or have you been transformed by Jesus? Because those are two different things. You need to be informed to some extent about Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus, but you can absolutely stop at information. But we don't want to stop there. We want to go to transformation, saying, I not only know about Jesus, but I am in relationship with him. I believe that he died on the cross for me, that God demonstrated his own love for me in sending Christ, and that he does love me, and I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I've asked for the forgiveness of my sins, and I've experienced the transformation. I am changed. I am made new because of Jesus. And if you've never experienced that, then I want to invite you even now. I'm going to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to pray for yourself. And I would encourage you to pray, Lord, if I've never experienced that kind of transformation, then Lord, do it today. I'm trusting you with my life today. Make me new. Let me pray for you. And I want to encourage you to pray for yourselves. Father, I do pray for any of those, for all of us listening. God, for those of us who have, we can look at our lives and say, I am not the person that I was because of Jesus. God, will you just let us be grateful and afresh. Let us be grateful and celebrate that anew today, and never get over the wonder of your mercy in our lives. And then God, for any who are listening right now who maybe have never experienced that transformation in Christ, Lord, remind them right now, that's what you want for them. Jesus, you said to see the kingdom of heaven, we have to be born again. And I pray for any who haven't experienced that, God, that today would be the day that they would trust you. This now would be the time where they would trust you and you would do that in them. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Drivecast. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. And I want to give you some time now just to pray for yourself.